Let's turn in the scriptures tonight to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 28 and read through the end of the chapter. And the verses we consider tonight are the last three verses, 37 through 39. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And now here's the text. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the word of God we have tonight. There are times when the child of God feels defeated. He's overwhelmed. He's about ready to be swept away. So he feels defeated. Perhaps he hears the news that he has a terminal illness. You have cancer. And it's just a matter of time. Or it can be he had an accident and he's crippled or somehow maimed for the rest of life. Or it can be that he loses a loved one suddenly, unexpectedly, torn from his life, leaving him devastated. It may be that his marriage is troubled or even fails. And his home may be filled with troubles and dissension, discouraging, overwhelming, feels like defeat. But the Word of God proclaims to the child of God and to the church that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The preceding verses focus our attention especially upon persecution. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, or tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then Paul quotes Psalm 44, verse 22, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So the focus of the preceding verses is persecution for the church, which the church also in Rome evidently was enduring. But now in the verses we consider tonight, the apostle forms a contrast. Nay, literally, but, in all these things, all these persecutions, and whatever evil befalls us, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And why is that? Well, Paul says, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the key. Those, whether in death or life, dealing with angels or principalities or powers, or things present or things to come, or height or depth, anything. The adversities, the catastrophes, the calamities that come his way, if he is not separated from the love of Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, he is a victor, a conqueror, more than a conqueror. I call your attention to this passage under the theme, More Than Conquerors. Let's notice, first of all, its meaning. Secondly, its realization. And finally, its enjoyment. We have a list here, don't we, of things that describe, from various viewpoints, the evils we face in life. Death and life are mentioned first. They go together. The great and last enemy we face is physical death. Something that, with few exceptions, we are terrified of, our death. It's the punishment of God upon sin. But then there's life. Life, yes, filled with opposition to those who belong to Christ. Whoever will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But beyond that, all sorts of calamities, struggles, disappointments, adversity, all leading eventually to death. So death and life refer to all the calamities, all the struggles, all the catastrophes of life, both in life and death. Then Paul continues by making mention of angels and principalities and powers. Those three belong together. The angels here refer to the fallen angels who followed Satan in the rebellion against God at the beginning of history. In that connection, he speaks of principalities. You see, there's structure in the angel world, even in the fallen angel world, where there are those who are chief and those who are under them. So we're talking about the chief of the fallen angels even, the devil at the head, and powers. They wield unbelievable power. And in that connection, the child of God and the church suffers much. From the book of Job, we learn that there have been times that Satan and the fallen angels are involved with the catastrophes that come upon us in this life. How much that's true, we don't know. But remember, Satan said to God, "You let me touch Job, this man that you point out to me, and he'll curse you and die." So with God's permission, really under the control of God's providence, he lost all of his wealth, all of his children, one day. And when he didn't curse God and die, Satan came back and said, "Let me touch him." Okay, but don't take his life. And so we see, at the hand of the devil, Job, an ash heap, scraping his body with a a piece of broken pottery, just in agony. His three friends came to visit him and comfort him, and his suffering was so bad they couldn't approach him until for 3 days. That's the angels, the principalities, the powers. And they are evidently involved also under God's providence and the difficult things that we have to deal with. Not only that, even if they are not directly involved in the catastrophes and the disappointments and the struggles of our life, they're present to destroy our faith. The devil and his hosts never lose an opportunity to come to us in distress, to discourage us, to bring us to rebellion, to lead us into sin, to escape, to curse God and die. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 speaks of a thorn in the flesh that God gave him so that he wouldn't be too proud. We don't know what that thorn was. It was some physical limitation. And Paul says, Satan buffeted me. He cuffed me. Paul had a terrible struggle against Satan in dealing with this thorn in his flesh. And so we read in Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12, put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, we fight, not against flesh and blood, that's not our problem, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These angels, principalities, and powers we find in our text. An ongoing battle in the midst of the struggles of life to destroy us. Then the Apostle Paul makes mention of things present and things to come. No matter who you are, where you are in life, there are disappointments, there are burdens. There are things you have to deal with. And if you're here enough and old enough, you're going to know it's not going to quit. There's going to be things to come, too, that are future. Always, throughout life, there's going to be disappointments, struggles, and the devil will be there. And you're going to have to fight against him. And Paul, now bringing his list to a conclusion, talks about height or depth. From the height of heaven, many things can come upon us. Tornadoes, hurricanes, lightning. From the depths below, volcanoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, bringing destruction, bringing death, bringing misery, bringing loss. And Paul concludes the whole list with any other creature. Any other creature that might possibly bring evil and suffering upon us, whether it's creatures from the realm of nature or it's evil men with whom we must contend. That's the list we're dealing with. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. Height, depth, any other creature. Says the Word of God here, in all these things, we, God's people, are more than conquerors. There is not a defeat. There's never defeat. We are more than conquerors. Doesn't always seem that way, does it? Someone dies of cancer. She lost the battle with cancer. Fought nobly, but lost the battle against cancer. When someone is abandoned in marriage, that seems like defeat. I know of a woman whose husband left her, ran off with someone else, left behind her and her family, was devastated, said, I ought to kill myself. So hard, bad was the rejection. I've witnessed widows, and I have one particularly in mind. Widows often become caretakers of their husbands dying. And when their husbands are gone, they're completely wasted, physically, emotionally. And I can still hear this one widow saying, I don't have any purpose to live anymore. Why am I here? She was defeated. She felt defeated. But the Word of God says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. A conqueror. A conqueror is a victor. One who faces an enemy and overcomes his enemies, gains the victory in battle. Now, we can set that in the military setting with a large army, or we can put that in the context of losing a loved one, dying of cancer, being disabled because of an accident, losing a loved one. We fought the battle. There was a battle, and we won. We won. More than a conqueror. Literally, above those who conquer. Now, let's take a military situation. How many times did Israel have to go to war against her neighbors who threatened, who invaded? You know what it means to be more than a conqueror? The victory is so great, so decisive, that the enemy can never mount another attack and overcome you. It's such a smashing defeat. It virtually destroys the enemy. And in the process, there were no casualties. You know, you can have a military conflict where there's a smashing defeat, which completely routs the enemy for good, but at a high cost. Look at all the casualties we endured. No, we're talking about no casualties. And that's what we as the church are. We are more than conquerors. These things that we are facing, that we have to deal with, that cause hardship and pain and sorrow and loss, and then we have to deal with the devil besides. We have a smashing victory. These things can never come back to defeat us, and there are no casualties. That's the idea here. So that's the first point. Now, the realization. In what way is this true? How is this so? According to the passage before us, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Who is that that loved us? It's God in Jesus Christ. And earlier in the chapter, verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? That's on the foreground. Our text ends this way. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're talking about God's love in Jesus Christ. And notice now, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, past tense, did something in love, way back. And in that great work of love, we are more than conquerors. Well, what was that? That was the love of God that sent His Son to the cross to die in our behalf. That's also mentioned in the previous verses. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. That's what He did. For our salvation, He didn't even withhold His own Son, but in love delivered Him up for us all to secure our eternal salvation. That is the great victory of which our passage speaks. It's all based on that great victory over sin and death and hell and Satan. And that death, sent and accomplished by God in His love, accomplished by Christ in His love, we are more than conquerors. But there's more. There's more. Moving on from the past down to the present and to today. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So Jesus Christ just didn't die in love to secure our salvation and then leave. He was raised. He was seated at the right hand of God in power. And from that position of power, He daily intercedes for us, knowing our needs, knowing our struggles, knowing our burdens. He brings our needs to the face of God. He does that in connection with our own prayers. And our prayers often aren't very good, but He perfects them. And He brings our needs to God to find help in time of need. And through these blessings that we enjoy, through these blessings, we enjoy God's love in fellowship and the friendship of God. On the basis of the cross, through the intercession of Jesus our Lord, who provides for us and all of our salvation, we enjoy God's love, His fellowship, His friendship. And according to the Word of God before us, we are more than conquerors in the midst of all the evils of life, exactly because there is nothing in all of life, or death, or the present, or the future, that can separate us from that love. Let's understand the basic presupposition of this passage, and that is We are victorious in any situation, in any loss, as long as we know the love of God and the salvation of that love. As long as God loves us, and as long as in that love, through the intercession of Christ on the basis of the cross, He showers us with His salvation, so that in the midst of all of suffering and loss of life, we still know the joy of His friendship and fellowship. We're victorious. We're victorious. That's the thought here. And why is that? Because isn't that really the only thing that matters? This life, with all of its beautiful relationships of family and marriage, those are wonderful. This life, with our health and strength and the activities we do, are just temporary. Are just temporary. That's all. If that's all you end up with, a life that's a bowl of cherries, with no sweat, no tears, but you don't have the love of God, and you don't experience His love through the great salvation that is in Jesus Christ, you've got nothing. You have trouble and sorrow and misery. You have nothing. You're defeated. That's defeat. But to know the love of God, to experience it, to fellowship with Him as you enjoy His salvation, then you are a victor. And we are more than conquerors in the midst of the sufferings, because exactly because this nothing can separate us from that love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from His love. His love for us will never fail. Nothing that befalls us can turn God's love away from us. You can get old and decrepit, and you can't do anything anymore. People have to carry you around. You're in a nursing home. You got to have a Hoyer lift to go from one place to the other. God's love won't fail. You can be crippled, and you can't do the things you used to do to serve Him. His love never fails. You know, the love that others have for us can fail. You can have a lot of friends. You're healthy, you're strong, you got money, you can entertain yourself with these people, but then something happens and you can't do that anymore. Be surprised how many of these friends are gone. They vanish. People who work in a nursing home are disappointed often that elderly parents are often just left there to languish. Not God's love. And you know why that is? Because His love for us is not rooted in who we are, in something that He saw in us. His love for us is rooted in His election. And Paul speaks of that too in the previous verses. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And that's on the heels of another verse, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. That means God knew ahead of time in love certain people. He knew you and me in love from the very time, from before time and eternity. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. That's why his love never fails. It's not rooted in us. It's rooted in his divine sovereign election. But secondly, nothing can separate us from the salvation that God has provided us in his love through Jesus Christ. You have cancer. It's terminal. You can see yourself slowly, slowly wasting away. Does that take away God's love? Does that take away the enjoyment of your salvation? You're crippled. You're in a wheelchair, confined to bed maybe. Maybe you had polio when you were my age, when I was a kid, and you're in an iron lung, and you're there the rest of your life. Does that mean that you can't enjoy the salvation of God and his love? Due to Christ's continual intercession for us, on the basis of the perfect work of the cross, God showers us, daily showers us, with blessing upon blessing. In fact, he mentions that too. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? No, he may not cure your cancer. He may not take you out of an iron lung or out of a wheelchair. He won't raise your loved one back to life again. He may not bring peace in your family, no matter how hard you try. But he will provide all things with Christ that you may enjoy and live your salvation and enjoy his love in the communion of his fellowship. In fact, it's true that God repeatedly uses the harsh disappointments, struggles, and even what we see as catastrophes of life to turn us to him and make us closer, closer to him. Many of us, in fact, that's the only way we do grow closer to him. God sends us rough things over rough places, and he draws us near unto him through them. And that's our victory. And there are no casualties. No casualties. No one. No matter how the devil tempts, no matter how hard the reality, no matter how much suffering, no matter that even sometimes the people of God look at a situation and say, why is God doing all this to this family? None will be overwhelmed. None will lose their salvation. Oh, for a time in weakness, they may flounder, and we all do flounder. When great tragedy strikes, we flounder a bit. but none will be a casualty of these things. So that brings us to the final point, the enjoyment. Do we live always in the enjoyment of this victory? Even though the victory is ours, we often live sometimes with a sense of defeat. You got cancer. You have 2 months to live. You're going to be confined to a wheelchair the rest of your life. You've lost someone close to you that can't be replaced. Sometimes we feel defeated. We don't enjoy our victory. And that is often because we don't have the proper perspective. We're too inclined to look at the things of this earth and from the viewpoint of what we've lost and the burdens we carry. And that's our focus. I can't do this anymore. I have pain every day. I'm so lonely in this loss. My husband doesn't love me. He left me. And that's all I can focus on. Rejection. Rejection. And we fail to see the thing, the whole perspective, from the events in our life from the perspective of this passage. Yes, all these things are true. But God loves me. God loves me. He loves me. And even though I'm overwhelmed, I haven't lost my salvation. I can't lose my salvation. It's secure in Christ. I have an inheritance, firm and sure. I have an eternity ahead of me. And this present life and eternity will look like a fleeting moment. And I know and experience God's love. He's even drawn me closer to Him. That's the perspective we have to have, not focusing on the earthly loss, but on what we have in Christ. And then we must also be persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, I'm persuaded that none of it can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You know what it means to be persuaded? To be persuaded means that you have this idea, you believe something, but everything looks contrary. What's happening around you, what you see, what you experience contradicts it all. But nevertheless, I'm going to hang on to my belief, what I know to be true. I am persuaded that in spite of whatever happens, whatever I see, whatever I experience, this is the way it is. Sometimes we have to be persuaded when tragedy strikes. How can God love me and let this happen to me? If He cares about me, why did He send this to me? I'm so overwhelmed. Has God forgotten me? Has He forgotten to be kind? In Psalm 4, David speaks of his flight from Absalom. It was so desperate that some were saying, not even God can show him any good. Not even God can do it. But David was persuaded. He says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, but thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He was persuaded. You ever suffer a terrible, terrible emotional collapse? I did. 1979. It was so dark, so bad, it left me without hope. I could never imagine that God could bring me out of it. It was beyond my imagination. It's hopeless. Deep depression does that. But then there's God, His Word. I remember going to the Scriptures, and I couldn't focus very much because I was that depressed, looking at the miracles He had performed. God can work miracles. He can salvage my life, but He doesn't do miracles anymore. It's hopeless. I had to be persuaded. Persuaded by someone who helped me tremendously, but also persuaded by the Word of God that even though it didn't seem possible, God's Word is true. Believe. Believe. And in faith, put your trust in the Lord. Be persuaded. And God's Word was true. I am persuaded after that experience, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul, by divine inspiration, says that about you and the church. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are more than conquerors. Amen. Father in heaven, thanks for thy word. Thanks for the assurance that we have, the victory that is ours in Christ. Thanks for thy love and the salvation of thy love and the enjoyment of that love in fellowship, sweet communion with thee. No matter what happens, no matter how harsh life is, no matter the catastrophe that falls, Lord, give us to cling to that and live victoriously. In Jesus' name.